Welcome to the Learn My Craft podcast. So my guest today is the incredible Kate Tover. So Kate is a contemporary visual artist known for her bold use of colour, rich textures, and emotionally charged artwork. So she's based in California, and Kate has exhibited internationally, completed a residency at the School of Visual Arts in New York City, and has been featured everywhere from San Francisco Magazine to CBS and even in a Cadillac commercial. So since becoming a full-time artist in 2017, she has used her work to not only push creative boundaries, but also to support causes for women's rights to environmental protection. So Kate, welcome so much to the podcast. It's really lovely to see you here.
Oh, thank you for having me. That's a nice intro.
You're welcome. So I wanted to start by talking about your style. I personally love your style. I've been following you since 2017, from when you used to do the golden pet portraits and the watercolor artwork as well on your Instagram. So I've literally been following your journey since then. And you have such a beautiful, recognizable and bold style. So what was your journey like to finding your own distinct style?
Thank you. I think it's always this kind of journey of experimenting that I will never ever stop, you know. So it's kind of always, you know, I have a style, but it always evolves. Like, I will focus usually on a series of work, kind of like a collection that I have in mind. And once that kind of period is done, it slowly merges into something else, you know, depending on where I am in my life, you know, like what city am I living in, like where I'm traveling. So it's I feel like it always still growing and evolves into something because of that experimenting that I do all the time.
Oh, that's so wonderful. Yeah, I love all of the experimenting things you did. I feel like I can see that in your work when you're trying out different things, like your what's it called? The glitch.
The glitches. Your
famous... Yes, I love the glitches. I'm sure everybody loves the glitches, don't they?
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, and your recent work with painting on clothing as well. I love that one. And even your recent work here with the, is it the fatigue?
That, what is it?
Your current work.
Yeah.
About fatigue.
Yeah, I mean, it's all still works together. You know, I feel like the floral motif especially always follows me everywhere, no matter which work I do, like no matter which surface I guess I choose. So most recently it's actually been linen. So I love clear primed linen surface, so you can kind of see the fibers peeking through the oil. I don't know, I just love that natural feel to it. So That's the most recent thing.
Oh, very cool. And also, what made you get into fashion as well? Because I just love the clothing that you designed. And it is, like you said, the florals go into that as well. So it very much looks like your artwork, even though it's clothing.
Yeah, I think it's just been also kind of like this period of time where I did fashion, because it happened right during COVID, where we were stuck at home, you know, we did not have any events. And then I feel like all of us were craving some kind of events to go to. So I started designing dresses. And that's kind of how the collection grew, that once, you know, the events were allowed, I went to all these galas wearing the these nice gowns. And then it just got super wild, I guess. And then, yeah, like magazines started featuring and stuff. But then I, kind of stopped, like maybe I'll do a little bit of painting on clothing in the future, but for now, it's done. So yeah, and the fashion world is very different from the art world, so I kind of just got a taste of it, and I think I got enough. So yeah, I like art shows much more than fashion shows.
So, do you think that artists should push to find their style early on in their careers, or do you think that they should let it evolve naturally?
I think there's a lot of pressure to find the style, but then it's not necessarily the best thing to be very strict with it and like to really stick with it, because if you limit yourself, for example, like, okay, I found this amazing style and that's all I'm gonna do till the rest of my career, like that is, it would feel like a trap for me and I would be very unhappy to be stuck in, those limits. So I think it's great to have kind of your own philosophy, like what do you want your art to be about? What do you want to say with it? So that can be kind of a more cohesive, your story, your inspiration. But I feel like your style and your work can be evolving, because I know I recently talked to one of my artist friends who has an amazing style, who's, she's in a very good, reputable gallery. But now she feels like, after all these shows that she's done, that she wants to do different work. And when you're with the gallery, you are definitely more pressured to keep producing the same, how to say, like works in the same style, basically. You can't just decide all of a sudden, okay, I'm doing something completely different. So I feel like that, as an artist, that feels very, like your freedom has been cut. So it's honestly, yeah, just kind of like this balance that you still experiment and you just change it slightly, change your work slightly. But it's like the world is changing so much that I feel like you can't blame artists for changing their work dramatically too. So we do what we gotta do.
So, have you ever felt pressure to stick to a certain style, like say your glitches, because they really took off. I feel like they're the things that made your career quite big because you did it everywhere as murals and on merchandise and all that kind of thing. So, did you feel that pressure to stick with that same style and because that's what people expected from you?
Not really. Honestly, I just kind of do what I feel like doing all the time. And the glitches, these floral bursts that we're talking about evolved from, just being more abstract first, then being more floral. Then I added female figure to it. So that's when, it's more mixed media kind of clothing and everything came together. So it was the women with that kind of floral explosion around them. So that then evolved to women just covered, in all these plants and flowers. So I feel like that's just slowly emerged to more plants, and it's just, yeah, very, very organic.
So, what helped your art first start gaining traction online?
Let's see, online. I've been doing Instagram and all that for so long. I feel like And in the beginning, I think it was larger pages that were reposting my art. I think that was more of a thing. Like there were these art pages that were huge, and they would repost things, and that would bring, some audience to me. But I feel like the algorithm is changing so much all the time, that after it became Reels, it pretty much just was all, all of the new audience came from Reels. But it's still changing, I was not a huge fan of doing videos when it started, so it took me time. Like I was never, I guess I never really treated Instagram as being like work. Like I still want to keep it fun and about, my art and not I pretty much lose interest in using it when I treat it as like a business. And it's a lot more pressure to post anything. So I think that's how it started. But it's all about just sharing, and being, I think, authentic with your audience and showing who you are, what you're going through. I think people appreciate that.
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely started feeling more like a second job, hasn't it, to like post good content.
Yeah, no, it's a lot of work for sure.
So what do you do to stop yourself burning out or not enjoying that then?
To stop burning out. I work all the time. So it's honestly, I'm so used to it now. I think I've been full-time artist for 8 years now. So it's been, quite a few years of doing everything, how it is as an artist, just so many hats. But I definitely, there were some really, really busy moments in my career where I would hire several assistants to help me in the studio with like stretching canvases and priming and installing the hardware and shipping. And I had some people helping with Instagram, and then I had some people helping with the website. And that moment, I think, is when a lot of burnout happened, because I do not like managing a lot of people. And it was also the way I was producing art was, how to say, like it would be a very large collection. So it would be like smaller pieces and more affordable pieces. And it was just a lot of repetition for me. Like they all seemed too similar, but it was popular. So I think that's when, a combination of a few things, like the people to manage, just a lot of things to keep track of, and the repetition of the same art. So that was the burnout moment. So now it's honestly, I feel like I'm in a good I'm in a good place, even though I work, from early morning till late night sometimes. But it's I mostly want to focus on painting. That's the shift that happened, that's very good for me.
So how have you managed to find that balance then between running, I guess, running your art as a business, selling your artwork, and then having enough time to paint? What's your strategy?
So there are a few things. I think with time, I raise my prices more for commissions, so I do a lot less commissions now. And I'm just kind of more picky. I'll do a few and not just take, everything. So that was a big one. And I think, what else? I mean, the work that I do, I focus more on doing shows rather than just producing something for sale. So I'm more kind of building my portfolio based on really what inspires me, what's going on in my life. Like right now, I'm really inspired by my Ukrainian heritage. So I'm just researching so much about, all the symbolism in the culture, like symbolism of flowers and colors, and there's just so much to uncover, and like it's so inspiring to me that I'm just fired up, and I've just been painting a lot. So yeah, I think right now I'm just focused on producing more meaningful work, and that somehow, being kind of more not focusing on sales, even though, of course I'm full time, so like I do still need to sell my work, but not prioritizing that almost made it, like better in some way that when I'm not prioritizing that, it does sell as well. So, and I want to do more residencies too. So they want to see how you're connected with your work, and like all the reasons why you do your work. And recently, Oceanside Art Museum o offered me a solo show. So I'm going to be preparing, I think it opens May 2nd in 2026. So that's a new challenge for me to produce work but not sell it till, I exhibit it. So I think it's pretty interesting challenge that's gonna happen. Like I still want to show the new work, but I cannot, yeah, cannot sell it. So
That's so exciting. Congratulations.
thank you.
Yeah, that'll be really nice. So, do you think that artists have a responsibility to use their voice for something bigger, like what you're doing, or is it more of a personal choice?
Or is it more of a what?
A personal choice.
Personal choice. I mean, I think it's both. I think it's good to be aware of what's going on in the world, and but not too much. Like I cannot watch the news because it will destroy me. Like it happened before. Like I was very aware of everything that's what that was happening that made me just not want to even touch the brush. It was like, what's the point? It's like people are suffering all over the world, and I'm here enjoying myself in my studio, painting. So it just seemed very unfair and unhelpful, I guess, for the world. So that's a bad that's a bad headspace. So I think it's good to be aware, but also know that art throughout history has been such a powerful tool to inspire people and really make positive change in the world. So it's not necessarily that you have to paint something political, and paint the violence that's going on, because I think on the opposite, people are so numb right now to what's going on and to all the violence that the only way to really shift people's perspective is to inspire them. So that's kind of my my current view, you know, and like especially about what's going on in Ukraine, because I feel like that was a time where it was popular to support Ukraine, you know, and like now it's kind of gone, but the conflict is pretty much still going on in the same awful rate, I guess. So I kind of my idea is to basically have people know more about Ukrainian culture and why people are so passionate about their country and their land and how just amazing the culture is. So I'm teaming up with some Ukrainian artists and friends to kind of just make it more meaningful, and it's just an amazing community to work with. So
That sounds wonderful.
thank you.
So, what impact do you hope that your art has on someone seeing it for the first time?
Impact. It really depends on the piece, because some pieces are very, very joyful, I feel like, and it is mostly about that, I feel like, because of my colors. I love, you know, all kinds of bright colors and the color combinations, and I feel like it is mostly, you know, that feeling of, you know, like being in nature, that feeling of comfort and just joy and awe. I love that, and I love surrounding myself with that. So it makes me happy. But most recently, I also want kind of a more deeper meaning angle, I guess, hidden in it. So it's you will look at the piece and it will have all these bright colors and flowers, but the closer you look, it might you might see something kind of mysterious or even dark, I guess. So I think it's just the way this world is right now, you know, that like I see beautiful things everywhere around me, but then there's also so much darkness around us. So I think this combination is what really affects my work right now. So yeah, that's pretty interesting.
So, what are some meaningful causes that you've partnered with then, and what impact have you had?
Meaningful causes, you mean like kind of like charities that I worked with and stuff like that. Yeah, I feel like that always also depended on the time, you know, and I feel like the environment has always been on my list of the charities to support. But it always varied. Like, I actually, when I moved to the US, I worked with a pet rescue. So that's how my career started, is I would, you know, donate work to them to auction off. I would also have like fosters, over 40 dogs actually that I fostered for
Oh,
them and took pictures of them and adopted them out. So that rescue really kind of helped me to kind of find my path. When I moved and I didn't know anybody in the US. And they also, I think, helped me shape my pricing, because the way when I donated my work and they would do, you know, first it was silent auctions, but then it was live auctions. And then, you know, people would bid to a much higher price point than my work was actually selling for. So that kind of helped me realized that I can price my work much higher. So that was in the beginning of my career. And then there were several charities that I worked with. One was about that helped women that dealt with like domestic abuse. So that's a wonderful charity. And then pretty much I think during COVID, it was in 2022, well, right after COVID is when the Ukraine Russia conflict started. So then I pretty much since then started focusing on that and environment. So that's kind of the both causes, I guess, that it's been consistent.
That's so wonderful, such a nice range, and also like reflects the stage you're at with your art career as well. So your causes change as you progress as an artist, which is really interesting. Sort of like they're both helping each other.
So I think it's really good for an artist to have something to be passionate about, some cause, you know. So then it feels amazing that you can contribute with your talent, you know, to that cause.
So, how do you measure success as an artist?
Painting all day. That's definitely success. Yeah, I feel like it definitely shifted after that time where I said I burnt out. So that was success more of the in the fi financial department. I feel like that was the idea of success that I had, and then once I arrived there, I just did not want to have anything to do with that success. Because all that matters to me, you know, I found out after that is that I just want to be in the studio alone, painting what, you know, I've been planning to paint, what I have in my sketchbook, you know, as a plan for whatever the next series. And I always have at least seven pieces at once, you know, and so many different ideas to paint. So that's success to me when I actually can make those pieces happen in the studio. And when I can't do that, I feel like I feel full of rage that
Oh
I can't paint. So yeah, definitely I'm in a good place right now that I just have so many full day studio days. So that's what I always wanted. But of course, like you always think about, oh, it would be great to have a bigger studio, you know, I want to have like a giant art barn. So there's, you know, always something that can be improved. And but it's yeah, when you make it about financial success as an artist, it's really not the right way to go.
So, if you were to start your whole career again, then what would you do?
You mean like what would I change?
Yeah,
Or
like how would you build your audience from scratch? What kind of artwork would you start doing? Like, how would you start again, basically?
I feel like I would not change as much of what I did. But honestly, yeah, like talking about charities, it is a good start for an artist to have a community that you support each other, basically. You know, you support them with your work and they support you because they put your work out there and they kind of promote you in a way, right? And I feel like when you start as an artist, it's really overwhelming because there's so many things that you can be doing, so many, Yeah, there's just so many different ways that to get your work out there. And like they say, that you really should get as many eyes on your work as possible, but also at the same time, you need to be improving what you're doing, like improving your technique, improving really like the meaning of your work. And I feel like in the beginning, I mostly focused on what's like what's pretty to paint. I don't know, I'm just interested in painting something, so I paint it. Like it's just really no explanation why, I just like something, so I paint it. But there was a little bit of disconnection because, when people would ask what my work is about or why I'm doing it, I really did not have much to say till I started digging something, from my past, from my childhood, what am I all about, what my priorities are. So yeah, I think it's always not easy to start as an artist. But there's also no kind of strict path that you need to take. It's just that I think the essential thing is to have some kind of community that knows that you're an artist and they can support you. But also, you should be supporting them, I think that's a good way to go.
Yeah, about what you said about like not knowing why you've painted something or like, the meaning behind it. I know what you mean because you sort of paint it because the way, you feel about, you're inspired by something, you paint it. And I guess subconsciously you're doing it because of, so and so reasons from your childhood or your background, but you sort of have to, as an artist, do the research to figure that out. Because you don't really know why you've chosen to do certain things, you just have chosen it, but your brain has chosen it for you because of, I guess, your experiences. And I guess you have to unravel that, don't you? Figure that out on your own.
Yeah, it's definitely a lot of things are happening in the subconscious that you can't explain in the moment, but then looking back, you're like, oh, that's why I painted that. But it is good to once I started doing more research and more writing, like I do a lot more writing on like why I'm doing what I'm doing right now, for example, and then I can connect to my work on like entire different level. It's like it's a completely different experience now, So I really, really love that. And I feel like even when you're starting out, thinking about a collection, like a body of work, thinking about planning it, even if you don't have a show lined up, but treating it as something that you would exhibit in a museum, for example, like that's a good way to think about it because it's not just, oh, like I'm gonna paint, some pictures, but it's almost good to have that kind of extra pressure, like even a deadline. So I've always been kind of strict in my career that like sometimes I would have a deadline to finish that body of work that I planned, even though there's nothing at the end. But later I actually started working with some spaces. Like for example, in New Orleans, there was this it was a mall with luxury stores, and one of the stores was vacant, so I asked, can I do an art show in that space? And they agreed. I had to get like a liability insurance. That's pretty much it. And I did a show, and I think I was there for like a week or so in that space. It's not like super long, but I was there, I painted there too, and a lot of people stopped by, and of course the opening was amazing. So it's really, you can make your own opportunities too. So you can work on a body of work and then exhibit it without really having a gallery or somebody that would be working like a dealer, yeah, for you to pressure you into finishing something.
Yeah, so speaking of opportunities then, so you've been featured in like major magazines and even that Cadillac commercial. How do you find these publicity opportunities and what impact has that had on your art career?
It's pretty interesting that I think my first cover of so that was San Francisco Magazine that featured me on the cover. The way it happened is that I was invited to a dog yappy hour with my dog Tucci. So it was some kind of cocktail hour for, I don't know, for people that have this association with this restaurant. Anyway, so my friend invited me, and there I talked to a lady about her cooking recipes. Anyway, we had a great conversation, but then she turned out to be a journalist. So maybe a few months later, she messages me that let's do an article. So, she'd like to interview me for a magazine. So we did the interview. And then I gave her a few pictures, that my friend took in a studio, a few pictures of my art. And then the editor emails me and says that we are considering to put your art on the cover. So that's basically how it happened. I thought it would be like a tiny article in the magazine, and then yeah, so that was how it happened. It was a dog happy hour that got me into a magazine. But it's yeah, with other opportunities, I think with Cadillac it was Instagram. The one of the how to say, I don't know who she was exactly, like who's in charge of finding talent for the commercials. She saw my art on Instagram, and they actually reached out to me on Instagram. I didn't see it for some time because like the requests or whatever, it went to my requests. So then they emailed me. And then we, yeah, it just was super fast. We did, Zoom, and I was pretty much on my way to Phoenix in like maybe 3 to 5 days. Yeah. So, yeah, shipping like all
Very
my work and
exciting.
everything. So it's really kind of fast and unexpected. So I think, yeah, opportunities can come from everywhere, but you kind of need to put yourself out there, yeah, for them to to find you.
Yeah, definitely. It's so important just to keep posting, keep talking to people, keep showing up, I suppose, as an artist, no matter where it is, like whether it's at a market stall or at a dog event, just to keep going to these things and keep talking about your art, because I guess people will then see that passion, they'll see how much you love doing what you're doing, and they'll want to be a part of it.
Yeah, and I think it's very hard for artists mostly. Like, we are mostly introverts, not all of us, but we do not want to be surrounded by a lot of people and talking to a lot of people all the time. So I think it's that community that you're comfortable with is that's essential, that it can be a lot of people, but at least it'll be familiar people. So I think, yeah, that's good. But also, yeah, it's good to do things that are very uncomfortable sometimes because you know that you should do it. When it's something very scary and you're intimidated by that opportunity, you should definitely do it.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. So, what's next for Kate Tova?
I think it's that show in Oceanside Museum. That's what I've been really focused on because it's a big milestone for me to have a solo show in the museum, because that's always something that you think about as an artist that eventually, it will happen. So here it is, and it seems like quite a bit of pressure because I do want it to be meaningful, like I do want the audience to learn new things after that show, so I am doing a lot of research right now and just planning the series, I guess, of work. And of course I'm working already on it and working on a million pieces at once. But eventually, like I do want to make more work than I need and then choose the right pieces for the show. Because it's not like a gigantic show, it is my first show, so it's not a retrospective or something huge. So, but it's still, yeah, still the pressure is on, and I'm just very inspired, and I want to make it happen. Yeah.
It sounds amazing. I can't wait to see the art pieces in the collection that you decide to do with them. It's going to be wonderful.
Thank you. Yeah, so I think it's a few things. Like I'll always be working on other things at the same time. Like I'm thinking about starting this pen pal slash print club because I'm honestly just getting tired of email and Instagram, and especially on Instagram how the AI is taking over, and I really hate looking at something and trying to figure out if it's real or not. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm like, I think
I
it's not going the right direction, and I just want something real, So I was thinking if
mean.
I do have that community of people that I would send the prints to and like my inspiration thoughts, and they can send something back to me. That would be really nice to have. Yeah.
No, that's a really wonderful idea, a really nice way of connecting with your audience.
Yeah, just something to try. I'll let you know how it goes.
Sounds good. Well, I think that's coming to an end of our time now. So thank you so much for joining me. It's been really inspiring and so wonderful to finally get to a chance to talk to you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. And you're so wonderful.
Thank you. So, to find out more about Kate's work, just visit katetova.com or check out her Instagram, and I'll put the links below. And if you've enjoyed this episode and you want to take your art career to the next level, then you can head over to learnmycraft.com and you'll find lots of tutorials, books, and downloads to help you. So, Kate, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye bye.